Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore all avenues of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, with another great show for you today. Later we'll hear from Stephen Kwoko on his experience of overcoming personal trauma to become an award-winning public relations expert, radio host, and media personality in the United States. First, a few words from our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. It's perfect for travellers and pet lovers, as well as people who experience the misery of hay fever or seasonal allergies. Here's Kanika Wahi, the biomedical engineer who co-invented NasalGuard technology and co-founded the business. She explains how it works.
NasalGuard works just as simple as a basic magnet. As you know, like charges repel each other and opposite charges attract each other. Our NasalGuard gel is a positively charged gel that attracts negatively charged airborne particles onto the nose, essentially creating an electrostatic barrier, an invisible shield prior to inhalation and right around your upper lip and your nostril and nasal area. So it helps block out a lot of the pesky and dirty air particles that you see floating around. It's safe for the entire family, and we pride ourselves in the fact that it works on very simple physics.
Yes, and that's the beauty of it, I think. It does work on very, very simple physics.
Right.
So no drugs, no kind of, fancy sounding chemicals going into the making of it. So you're not killing stuff off. You're literally pulling particles out of the air and trapping them. Isn't that right?
That's right. The key component of this product is the trapping and the attracting of the particles prior to inhalation. So they do get trapped around the nasal passages where you're applying the physical gel, and it also has an electrostatic component, so it is attracting the oppositely charged particles. It's very simple.
Yeah, I know. It's brilliant. Brilliant in its simplicity, I think. Now, a lot of people might say, I breathe through my mouth. So it's not going to block that, obviously, but the efficacy is still pretty high.
That's right. You bring up a great point. And it's also important to note that the majority of particles that you do inhale end up going through the nasal passages in the nose. So that's something that is a very important statistic, that the majority of particles that are contributing to a lot of the respiratory symptoms are inhaled through the nose rather than the mouth. So while it's not directed or instructed to be applied, or our topical gel is not instructed to be applied around the nose or around the mouth, rather, it does have a large contribution of blocking and stopping those particles, the airborne particles, from being inhaled through the nasal passages.
Yeah. And I was trying to work out the other day how mm-hmm. I normally breathe. Mm-hmm. And I think I do breathe in through my nose. And then if I'm consciously breathing, I'll breathe in through my nose and out through my mouth. So, except when I just breathed just then, which was through my mouth. But anyway, it is still effective, even though a lot of us will be breathing through our mouths. And yes, I mean, I guess things like pollen, they will just filter up through your nose anyway. And that's where the irritation and the allergy symptoms come from.
That's true. The majority of the harmful particles are the reason why, and the reason why people have the majority of the symptoms, such as runny nose or itchy eyes, coughing, sneezing. They're all due to the fact that they are inhaling some of these, either pollen or dust mites, pet dander. Some of the hay fever symptoms are directly correlated with that.
Then What I'm thinking about is, okay, so we talk about nasal guard being great for air travel, being great for people who have allergies. Who else might benefit from this? I'm thinking, you know, it's water-based. So is there any kind of sport or anything where you wouldn't use it? What kind of people would be using this product as a general rule?
You brought up a lot of really great points. I do believe that we like to think that it's universally beneficial because everyone has a nose, everyone breathes. We do believe that it's universally beneficial across the board. The best selling product so far has been the air travelers segment, followed by the pet lovers. But I will say that there are quite a few school children, parents who buy this for, you know, their entire family. You know, they themselves might be a germaphobe. They would like to pass this on to their kids and make sure they're applying this to help protect themselves and to help block out some of the pesky, dirty airborne particles that are floating around in majority of daycare or schools. We find that a lot of law enforcement, even whether it's a firefighter, some police officers, they are a lot of our repeat customers. Some people who like to garden or tend to a lawn, they've found, you know, major relief and major benefit from the product line because they're able to resume their regular life and daily activities without being bogged down by, you know, sneezing and watery eyes. They are able to enjoy their garden in peace.
Yeah, which is great. And I was just thinking as you were talking there, I have so many friends who have young children. And they always say, well, they're always saying, you know, on social media or wherever, okay, you know, another day under the duvet because I've got another cold. You know, thank you, children, because kids come back from nursery with all the bugs under the sun. And of course, so it's not just the kids, it's the parents who could be using nasal guard and actually fending off some of these things that might be carried by their kids.
Absolutely. There are quite a few parents who have given us feedback, even teachers who have found us on social media and talk about their own experiences completely organically. They love to spread awareness that there are measures that you can take that don't involve antihistamines or products like Benadryl. There are options that you can take control of and actually prevent rather than cure.
Yeah, which is great. I'm all about no drugs here on my show. So I'm also thinking about, okay, so you're going on holiday. So great for air travel, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
You're going on holiday. You've got your nasal guard with you because you've, you know, had it on the plane. You get to, say you're at a resort by the sea. Now it's water-based. So you've got to reapply it, haven't you, if you go for a swim?
We like to instruct and we like to direct our customers to use common sense. And also if they're sweating or getting their nose wet or taking a shower or going for a swim, we like to make sure that they understand that it does need to be reapplied as necessary. And that does include when you're going for a swim. And like I said, if you're working out and sweating it off, you typically would have to be reapplying it. Or if you're blowing your nose, you typically would reapply it afterwards. So that is something to keep in mind. It is a water-based gel, all clean ingredients. We'd like to make sure that people understand that there should not be any drug interactions with any prescription medication. It is over-the-counter and there are no active ingredients. But we do want to make sure that customers understand that there is reapplication every 4 to 6 hours or as often as needed.
Great. That's a good point, actually. Yes, it is over the counter. There are no interactions with any drugs, but you do have to reapply it. And I'm thinking, right, you know, maybe if you're playing any kind of sport, really, and you're sweating and you're, you know, yeah, you'd want to reapply it. And now just thinking about the application of it, you don't need very much at all, do you?
You just need a pin-sized drop. I can demo that. It's very easy. You simply take a pin-sized drop, the tiniest amount, and actually for this, less is more. You want to make sure it's an even application around the nostrils and right around the base of the nose and the upper lip, and you're good to go. It's very easy.
Brilliant. And that tiny, tiny drop really does work. And it's enough to cover. I mean, I have tried it myself, and I have to admit that really, it goes on really smoothly.
All of the ingredients are cosmetic grade ingredients, so they're safe to use under or over makeup. And we like to consider it our sunscreen because it's obviously meant to be before exposure to or before entering any sort of environment or polluted area. It has to be applied prior to rather than after the fact. So we consider it our sunscreen.
That's a great way to explain the concept, don't you think? And it's so unobtrusive, as we've said, that no one needs to know you have it on. If you want to try it, there's a link on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Click on that and it'll take you through to the Nasal Guard online shop. They deliver worldwide, so wherever you are, you can benefit. Now, something else you might want to try is a foray into energy clearing. I'm running an online introduction to energy clearing, and it's on February the 29th, as we're in a leap year, so maybe it'll be a leap into something new for you. New or not, you'll learn all about clearing personal energy for health and well-being, as well as clearing your environment, your personal space. You can find out more about that at safehavenhealing.uk/events, and you can reserve your spot by following the link there. We're in a time of huge change and challenge right now, and managing our energy state has never been more important, or so I believe anyway. So I'd love you to join me. The more people who join in, the more powerful the event will be, so don't miss out on this opportunity. Check out safehavenhealing.uk/events and sign up. But not before you've heard from the fabulous Stephen Cuoco, celebrity PR, who's coming up right after this short break. I'll be back after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it's time for me to introduce to you my special guest today, Stephen Cuoco. Stephen is an award-winning public relations expert, an acclaimed radio host, and a media personality in his own right, but he's worked with A-listers like Al Pacino and the author Stephen King. But Stephen's successes mask a history of personal trauma that he's had to overcome. He now uses his international platform to inspire others to overcome their pasts, embrace their personal truths, and thrive through genuine connections, all starting with a conversation. Here's how our conversation started. Stephen, you talk about transformation and everything having to do with connection and transformation starting with a conversation. And we're having a conversation here, which I hope will help people transform their lives. But connection and conversations are so important, aren't they?
They are. They truly are. It's the fundamental landscape of what bridges and amalgamizes human connection.
Yeah. And people are so starved, I think, of connection, especially after the last few years. You know, people aren't traveling maybe as much as they used to do. I know that you're in the States and probably people are still flying around the States as much as they ever did. But yeah. But I think I notice here in the UK, people aren't quite traveling maybe as much as they did. And so these connections are kind of falling by the wayside. What do we do to make sure that we don't become disconnected?
Conversation. It's all about having conversations, right? Yeah. I say it every time. It's about conversations.
Yeah. Whatever I ask you to come back and say conversation, but no, it's true. It is a hugely powerful thing. If somebody is feeling a little alone, disconnected, how would you suggest they go about starting these conversations? Where's the starting point?
It's a great question. Very good question. I like how we're like jumping right off the cuff and nothing's pre-planned because we have no questions and answers that have already been prepared. I would say most people have told me and advised, it's all about knowing yourself. I feel that it's something much deeper than knowing yourself. The question I have, and it goes back to an interview I had a while back ago, is do you even want to know who you are and what you're about to be able to freely express who you are?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. And I think a lot of us don't want to know that. And I speak from personal experience here. Just before we started recording this, I was telling you that I've been going through a radical sort of sorting out of my life and saying, who am I really? And do I really need to be doing this? No. Do I really need to be doing that? No. What is it that I really want to be doing? Who am I? And I think that is one of the toughest questions out there. I really do. So to get to that point, I'm pretty old now, and it's taken me a lot of years to get to this point. I would love people to get there quicker. Have you got any suggestions as to how people can really dig deep and find out who and what they're all about a lot earlier than I have, and maybe you have as well?
From experience, still, it's an everyday reminder. Stop rushing through your life.
Yeah. And that's very powerful. Yeah. Stop and take stock. And I don't know about you, but I always say sit in silence. And I know your book is Guided Transformation, Poems, Quotes, and Inspiration. I mean, take the time to pick up a book like that and just sit and just open it at a page and sit.
One page.
Yeah. Yeah.
One page a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And see what that brings up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know that you have a part two to your book. The original book came out some years ago, I think 2012, but you've
2012.
Got a part. Yeah. But you've got a part two coming out this year, hopefully, which we look forward to. Let's just take the time, go deep inside. And I often say, just sit in silence for a little while. Now, that's very hard for some people to do, right? Sit in silence, just let your mind go blank if you can. And if you can't, it doesn't really matter. And also look in the mirror and just really look at yourself. Say, who are you? Who is this? And here's the even hardest bit. Say, I love you. That's even harder, but that's a whole other thing, you know, to look in the mirror and say, I love you. Certainly that was hard for me to do. A lot of us have had to come through some really difficult times to get to where we are today. And I know that you have. And I know that one of your passions right now is to help people transform their lives. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about you and how you've transformed your life.
Great question. It's asking for help, even when you're most uncomfortable, even when you don't want help. Ask for help. I've been sharing that a lot lately.
Yeah.
And your question has helped also reflect on reinforcing what is asking for help mean to my, while knowing who I am, having the opportunity to continue to be interested to know who I am. Who is Stephen Cuoco? What is Stephen Cuoco about? There's a big difference between what is a person and who is a person.
Oh, like that. Yeah.
Like that. What is a person and who is a person?
Yeah. And so what brought you to all this wisdom and knowing and understanding?
Well, we had this conversation before we went live, and I'm very comfortable to share. Going to be 50 years old in April, which I'm excited about. I'm loving my age. I'm finding that the more you embrace your age, who you are, what you've earned, it's not just a number. It's an accomplishment to even pause to take a look and to consider and to, as you had stated, look at yourself in a mirror and find that feeling of what you love most that's gotten you through 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years. It's a huge accomplishment.
A lot of people don't recognize their accomplishments, I've noticed. I've been guilty of that myself. Mm-hmm. And I have to keep reminding myself, you're still here. No matter what's happened, you're still here. And I've shared on the show before, I'm sure, and if not on this show, on other shows, you know, that some of the difficulties that I've faced in my life, physical, as in, you know, health issues, but also emotional, and never really quite being able to find my voice, never really quite being able to express myself properly, not asking for help. That's a huge one.
Mm.
And one that I think that I've only just recently totally nailed, because I think that it was ingrained in me that you don't ask for help. If anybody said to me, are you okay? You know, how are things with you? I'd say, oh, great, Ray, fine. Yeah, good. Fantastic. Inside, I could be dying, but I still wouldn't allow that vulnerability to come through. Vulnerability is quite big as well, isn't it?
Huge. But you and I come from a generation where it's taboo.
Yeah.
You know, you don't leave the house. I've expressed this many times. We come from a generation where you don't leave the house in trouble.
Mm.
You walk outside and you let the church, the neighbors, the school, everyone know. You know, you tighten up that tie, get yourself presentable. And when you walk out that door, there's no problem.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is absolutely true. And even to your nearest and dearest, that facade, that mask is still there because you feel that you can't show them that you are vulnerable. And I was reading somewhere quite recently, or listening to somebody quite recently, who was saying that actually that vulnerability is essential in a relationship. Is that something you've experienced?
Oh, of course. I've never had a problem with being vulnerable. Just never felt safe in my environment to express that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Even when I was adopted.
Right.
Never felt safe to express that vulnerability because no one else gave themselves permission to express the vulnerability. And when I expressed it many times, even when it infuriated my parents or whoever it may have been, there was a backlash. There was also a sense of neglect, where questions were not answered, feeling alienated. Abandon was huge when you express your truth, when you set boundaries. Abandonment was always number one on the list of what I experienced in my life. And still to this day, you would think, oh, the world's gotten so much better. Oh, the world's event. The world, I think, has gotten worse. And I've said it before, to where anyone who says to you that the world has gotten better, they're up to no good. They're up to no good.
I'm kind of with you on that one. I don't see that the world has got that much better. It's changed.
Mm.
But is it better? No, I don't think it is. And so how long did it take you to get through, because you are very successful. You have a successful business. You do very well. You are, you know, very well known. You have, you know, celebrity clients. You're out there in the world. So how did you manage to get there and get through all these events in your life, these feelings of not being safe, of not being able to express yourself? You know, you're working in a business where expression is king.
Mm. Yes. Image is everything. The question is what sort of image are you developing?
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, no. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt you. Is that image and self-expression aren't quite the same thing, are they? Image is projecting. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you.
You're fine. We live in a world to where I've went to university, did my studies, took my oath to be fair, honest, disclose all material facts as a publicist. You know, both of us have a background as journalists. Journalism isn't where you just pull out your cell phone and record something and think you're a CNN reporter. There are code of ethics you have to follow. There's a law you have to follow. There are formulas and formats that you have to follow. You also, as a journalist, you know, when you went to either school or university or wherever a person may go for it, you also have to take an oath for that. You have to take an oath to be a journalist of what you are to do as a representative for the public. And most people don't understand that there is a sense of carelessness and vigilante behavior that's going on today in general across the board. The world in itself needs a PR representative in the entire world, from government to everyday living. It is just amok out there.
Yeah.
And when I think about, you know, to answer your question and go back to, when I think about public relations and doing what I do, we all have a responsibility, because the moment you are building a relationship and camaraderie and partnership, that begins with self. What are you doing for you? As you were sharing, like, you've gone through abuse and things in your own life and health. And that's those are things that you've got to sort out for yourself before you can focus about, okay, your job, your family, kids, relationships, because that PR part of partnership and image and reputation building and management and association all begins to formulate as to who are you and what are you? What are you going to express in your truth? And who will you be to emulate that truth?
Ooh, that's so true. And I love the idea of the world needing some PR right now. A tough call for any publicist, I reckon. Right now, though, it's time for another break. We'll pick up on more from Stephen Corco in a few minutes, right after we hear these short messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're still listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, delighted that you're still with us as we continue my conversation with Stephen Corco, author of the international bestseller Guided Transformation, Poems, Quotes and Inspiration. He's also a publicist and a successful businessman. Before the break, we were talking about getting to know exactly who and what we are in order to live a good, healthy life. Stephen continued with an example of how he does things his way.
And as a publicist, I'm not the type of person to where, like other agencies, very well-known agencies, they're focusing on that $5,000-$10,000 monthly retainer check from each person. And it could be $5,000 to $10,000 plus per project. Most people don't know that publicists don't just pay or just receive one flat retainer fee. There are PR agencies that, if you've got a book coming out, film coming out, a book tour coming out, those are three retainers right there. Mm-hmm. I'm all in one. I like to have it all a la carte. And okay. I don't like to manufacture people. Because I've fought my entire life to go against the grain from being manufactured as to what my parents wanted, what the church wanted, what society wanted, what the school wanted. And I'm not going to lie and say that some of their belief systems did get into me. And still to this day, I'm reclaiming my life and my power back. Because when you live every day, 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes every day within these programs that are not yours, I'm sure you can relate. It's like, wow, where did this thought come from? Where did this belief system come from? Why am I thinking and feeling what I'm feeling? And I'm telling you, I stop and I ask myself, whose thoughts are these? Are these mine? And you're going to know, you're going to get the answer.
Yeah. And I love that. It's something that I've been writing about just only the other day. And I did do a little video about it. But yeah, whose thoughts are you thinking? Whose dream are you dreaming? Whose life are you living? You know, stop and think about that. Absolutely. And so finding yourself, realizing who your real self is, who your true self is, it's fantastic if you can get to that point. Some of us have taken all our lives until quite, you know, some age to get there or even near there. But the other thing that this impacts is health, as in physical health. So I'm always trying to bridge the gap and say, it's not just about your mental and emotional health. You need to work out who you are, because once you do and you reclaim that power of who you are, you will find that you are stronger in every way, including physically. What are your thoughts on that?
Here's something I would like to read to you. I had a feeling, I was wondering if I was going to read this or not. One of my favorite shows on Netflix, I acquired this from, and it's a quote. It's by one of the scenes in this one show, and it said, "The real violence, the violence I realized was unforgivable, is the violence we do to ourselves when we are afraid to not be who we really are."
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the answer, if I may. I feel like to answer that question is, that's where it begins. Asking yourself, what are you afraid of? And why or if do you feel that you can't be who you are in that moment, in that relationship, in that project, in your own evolution? It's something I've said quite often recently, because there was something so impactful about that. And there are times I'll sum it up and say that, you know, the most unspeakable violence one can commit to oneself is the violence that they commit by not being who they are. That's another way that I phrase it as well. And so that's where it begins.
Yeah.
To recognize and take ownership of the pain, the blame, where you feel that you're a victim, and come to resolve in that. Because if not, the patterns are going to continue, whether it's obsessively eating, not eating the right foods, remaining in relationships, friendships that are unhealthy, because a person may feel comfortable, because they feel like they can't get anything better, and those people will accept them, even for all the yickiness and uncomfortable. But then again, who's growing? Who's healing? You can't stay in a circle of pain, not within yourself, not while you're home by yourself, or when you're amongst other people. Remaining in a cycle of pain and trauma is not going to get you any resolve. It's not going to get you to that place of absolution. Does that help?
That is so true. And that's a very powerful quote. Absolutely. And I feel that I've heard it recently, so I might have watched the same show somewhere along the line. But it is hugely powerful. You know, our worst enemies are ourselves often, and we do need to let go. However, I would say that sometimes we need a helping hand, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need somebody to take us by the hand and say, okay, you know, you can be safe and you can choose different things and get that support. But again, it comes back to this conversation and asking for help. I guess that it takes us back to the beginning of this conversation. That is it. It's very hard to pluck up that courage, though. I know when I was younger, it would be very hard. And I remember, you know, when I was a young, very young reporter working on newspapers, I remember thinking, I'm not entirely sure about the culture, should we say, of the news agenda. So it was fairly toxic, I think. But I still decided to play the game. And I kind of burnt out, which is why I moved away from mainstream news and current affairs. But I never asked for help because I just felt that I couldn't. The one time that I started to ask for help was because of a relationship issue. And that set me on a path, which was, you know, which I was grateful for. Life can really continue to get better. So I think for a lot of people, they think, oh, yeah, but how am I going to improve all of this? Well, you just take baby steps, don't you? You just take one step and then the next. I'm sure that you've had a similar experience.
No, of course. You reminded me of the movie with Bill Murray, Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
Baby steps.
Love it. Love that one. Love Bill Murray. Yeah. Well, but isn't that the way some people live their lives, right?
Yeah.
They just do the same thing over and over and over. And they might be even boring themselves at some point, as Bill Murray gets very bored with constantly mm-hmm. doing the same thing in that film. But they don't change anything because they feel powerless. I think maybe the key is that you can change. And that's where the conversation comes. It's accepting that you can do something to change your life. You don't have to suffer whatever you're suffering, go through whatever you're going through. You can, you do have the power to change your life, but it starts with that conversation.
Absolutely. And to be clear, there are people that enjoy being a victim.
There are people that
will go ahead and do something just for the sake to say, I did it. I've got leverage. Don't tell me I didn't do it. Don't tell me I didn't put effort or try, because in their mind, in their reality, they did it. And as long as action was taken, they don't care about the results. The results is they took it. Don't bother them. Don't lecture. Nothing else.
Yeah, no, there are lots of people like that around, but we don't have to follow that way of being. We can really take our own lives in our own hands and change them for the better, no matter how long it takes, because even something a bit better than what you're going through right now, surely that's worth aspiring to, right?
Just
take the small steps. Well, Stephen, thank you so, so much. If you had one piece of advice beyond the conversation, which we've already established, what would that piece of advice be to somebody who's looking at their life and thinking, I am stuck in Groundhog Day. How do I get out of it?
I have the answer. What are you doing that is creating a loop of repetitiveness? Once again, what are you doing that is creating the loop of repetitiveness? And what can you change about it? So if you wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you have your coffee, 7:30, you have your devotions, 8 o'clock, you're responding to emails, 8:30, you're hitting the gym, 10 o'clock, you're taking a shower, change something. Instead of 7 o'clock, make it 7:15. Flip something around. What you want to do is you want to confuse the prefrontal cortex. You want to confuse the logical self of being comfortable, of always knowing.
Yeah.
Being prepared. Reinforcing the fact that you're going to always be safe. And then how do you handle trauma, difficulties, change? It amazes me. With all due respect to anyone who has fitness routines, family routines, all of that, my routine is not having a routine. Mm-hmm. I have found that routines create complacency. It works for certain people. It works for certain systems. You know, just like when you turn on a car, you have to turn the car on. And then if you need to reverse, you reverse. Now, when you're ready to drive, you go and drive. There's certain patterns that need to happen because that's how the system or the machinery works. We are human beings. And I think to myself, how much of a prison a person is that feels that they need to be in a gym for 3 hours.
Don't even go there. Can't. No.
Twice a day.
No. Who does that?
Many people do it.
I know many people do it. Not me. But yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, the old adage, don't go the same way to work every day. Mm-hmm. Go a different way.
Exactly.
Don't go at the same time. Go a different way. We walk a lot more here than you might do where you are. So, you know, just take a different route. And actually notice what you're seeing when you're walking.
How many times, here's another thing. How many times do you look up in the sky? Do you know how I even notice when I go outside how unfamiliar it is to look up, to remember to look up and look around?
Yes, very much so. And you'd be surprised what you've walked or driven past every day and not noticed, right? Mm-hmm. And looking up into the sky. Now, I know in, you know, cities where you've got lots of skyscrapers and, you know, if you look up, you're not seeing a great deal other than skyscraper, but there's still stuff. It's still looking up. It's still giving yourself a different perspective. And it, again, you know, it does have that impact on the brain. Mm-hmm. It helps you become a little bit more elastic, a little bit more able to change things around. I love it. I love it. And I've loved this conversation, but sadly, we are coming to the end of it. I would like to ask you, thank you so, so much for everything that you've shared today. I really enjoyed speaking with you today. Where can people find out more about you? I know that you've got a show that you're about to start, which sounds incredible. Tell us where people can find out more about you, you know, get in touch with you if they want to.
Thank you for that. I do have a radio show live on air with Stephen Cuoco on Power 98.5. I do own the station. It's power985.com. My Amazon bestseller is available on Amazon, Guided Transformation, Poems, Quotes, and Inspiration. And my public relations firm, StephenCuoco.com. Last name, C-U-O-C-O.
Italian for cook.
Italian for cook.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not many people know that. So very good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. My big achievement today. No, it's been fantastic to speak. So thank you very much for that. So yes, lots more wisdom from Stephen, you know, wherever you can find him, his book, his radio show, whatever. So do check Stephen out. Thank you so, so much for this very valuable chat. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And let me know. I'll come on anytime to share any advice, whether in PR, business, publishing, whatever it may be. I enjoyed this.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so, so much. Yeah, that's brilliant. Such a generous man. And Stephen's second guided transformation book will be coming out later this year, although no date has been set yet. So do watch out for that. Meanwhile, you can check out my website and blog at thepracticalalchemist.uk. If you register at the site, you'll get all my latest news and views right into your inbox. You'll also find some audio tracks there that will help you if you're stressed or suffering from anxiety. They're a kind of guided meditation, but you might find them useful just as a way to be quiet and take some time for yourself for a few minutes. A guided track is a great way to get the benefits of meditation, even if you're new to this kind of thing. Remember to follow me on Facebook and Instagram as The Practical Alchemist. That's another way to keep up with everything I'm doing and not miss a thing. And you can find out more about how energy clearing works, as well as sign up for an introduction to energy clearing on February the 29th at my other website, safehavenhealing.uk. That's safehavenhealing.uk. And make sure you check out Health Triangle magazine for some great health information. It's packed with features and news from all your favourite UK Health Radio presenters and contributors. You'll find the link to that on the UK Health Radio homepage. This show was brought to you in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants, as well as indoor and outdoor allergens, perfect for travellers and allergy sufferers alike. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.